You got one more Sunday here? Okay. He's going to be going down getting some sun. Sunny Florida. And we're going to miss him. Well, this morning, you know, there's a lot of things going on in your life and a lot in my life. And sometimes we go through these crises. And they can be doom and gloom, or they can be looked at as a blessing. And it's up to us to decide, personally. I want to start with by reading this morning in Psalm 55, first four verses. And in Psalm 55, we see David here kind of crying out to God, and you know, maybe it's us. Maybe it's something that we need to do. Psalm 55, he says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God." He's crying out to God. "Give ear to my prayer. And do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me, Lord. I'm restless in my complaint and moan noisily. Because the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me." David was crying out to God, begging God to hear his prayer. And I don't know if you've ever been to that point. I certainly have, and probably most of you have. David was groaning. As I was praying the other day and reading, God impressed upon me again that he is the God of crises. He's the God of crises. May I say this? That it doesn't matter what you go through in your life. The good news is that God can handle every crisis that comes into your life. It doesn't matter how big it is, God will take you through it. And it doesn't matter how small it is, God wants to know about it, and he'll take you through that too. Crises come into our lives. But this morning, your heart might be as heavy as lead. You may be facing financial problems, family problems. There can be all kinds of problems, health problems that come into our lives. Whatever it is that you're facing, I'm asking you this morning to let God have control and work that through you. He will do it. He is a big God. He's a huge God, and he is in control of all things. Let me share with you that God has something very special to offer you, and that's his grace. His grace is what saved you through your faith. And God's grace is still there. Therefore, let us understand that his grace will take us through whatever crises that we face. God wants you to know this morning that his grace is sufficient. How do I know that? Well, I learned a lesson a long time ago whenever the Apostle Paul was crying out. It was actually Saul after he was blinded on the roads of Damascus. And God got his attention, even though he was doing what he thought was the right things, but he went through a crisis. He was blinded for 3 days. And he was left, and I believe, in my own heart anyway, I can't prove it by Scripture, but I believe that God left him with some eyesight that he couldn't see very well. As a reminder of what Saul was doing and how God corrected him. But what did God say to Paul? He asked him, Paul then asked God three times to take away that infirmity that he had. And God came right back in 1 Corinthians 12:9, and says, "My grace is sufficient." What he's saying is, look to me, God says. Look to me. I'll take you through it. You know, sometimes I think we have the wrong impression that we ask God and he's just going to take it away. He's just going to erase it. Well, that would be great. But we wouldn't learn anything from it. What God's grace does is takes us through those crises. He takes us through those things so that we can learn something from them and grow closer to Him. You see, that's how God works. And I think that the sooner we understand that, I believe that what God was saying, there's no temptation given to man, but such as is common to man, that God will not give us the door of escape. Door of escape, not necessarily take us out of it, but take us through it. You hear me? You're going to go through it. But He's going to take you through it. And you're going to learn something from it. And that's the great thing. Because if you come to understand who God is, this big God, there's no crisis that's a surprise to God. Because He's in control of all things. Amen? All things. God is God. And God is eternal. God sees all things, knows all things, and is ready to guide you, direct your path. As you folks that are going through the Experiencing God class, you're going to recognize that God speaks to you in various ways. But we got to hear Him, and we got to listen to Him. God will honor you. Let me say this loud and clear, that God will honor you when you honor Him. In the middle of your crisis, God will always show up. But you need to honor Him. How do you honor Him? Give it to Him. Say, God, I need your help. Please help me. As David was crying out in the Psalm 55 we just read, David was crying out. He didn't run to the psychologist. He didn't run to somebody else. He ran to God. And I think we need to learn that too. God is the one that will take us through. I said through. Not necessarily take us out of, but He'll take us through that crisis that's in our lives. If we will only honor Him. It's been in trials and tribulations where I'm just like you. I want it out of them. I've had a lot of crises in my life, and I'd just like to be out of them. But the important thing is that I learned more dependence upon God whenever He took me through that trial. And I learned something from it. I learned something that maybe I had to use in teaching. Every one of those things, He develops us through those trials and through those crises. Sometimes it's because of how you respond in those crises that it becomes a teaching moment for someone else. I use the example, and I thought it's a great one that you probably all know, about the three Hebrew children. You know, they were under the control of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Those three Hebrew children stood up and they stood strong for their principles of their faith. They stood strong. And Nebuchadnezzar, of course, was in disagreement. And he said, take those three guys, bind them, and throw them into the fiery furnace. You know, he gave the order and there was men that threw them into the fiery furnace. But if you follow through the scriptures, you'll find out that those ones that threw him, those three Hebrew children into the furnace, they were burned up. But then old Nebuchadnezzar came along and he looked into the furnace. He says, my goodness. He says, didn't we cast three bound men into that furnace? He says, lo. He says, as I look, I see four. And one of them looks to be the Son of God. A good illustration of how God is there even whenever we're going through the fire, even when we're going through these crises in our lives, that God is there with us. He told us He'd never leave us or forsake us. You see, God has designed, I think sometimes in my heart, I really believe, He designs these crises so that He'll see how we're going to respond. Do you believe what you say you believe? Do you believe by faith that God saved you when He went to that cross and paid a price for you? Do you believe that He will give you these victories? Do you believe that He'll take you through these things? I think that God actually knows. He knows. He's an all-knowing God. He knows how you're going to respond. He knows that He sets these things up for you to gain victory by looking to Him. Amen? That's what has to happen. We are looking to Him, looking for His grace, undeserved favor. We don't deserve it, but we can look forward to it if we trust Him by faith. That's the way things work. There's no crisis in our life that is a surprise to God, because He's the one that actually has allowed it. But then He's there. You think about the examples in the Bible that I can throw out that you know. Blindness to a person that's blind can be a crisis. But Jesus was there and healed the blindness. And Rodney, He'll do that to you too. One day when you get to heaven, buddy, you're going to be able to see it all. Amen. Lameness. You think about, I've been lame and other people have been lame in this church. That's a crisis. Whenever it hurts to take every step, when the back hurts so bad that it hurts to take a step or even get out of bed. But Jesus is in the process and does heal many. Demon possession. I've seen it. Demon possessed people. And Jesus shows up and casts out those demons and gives people the freedom. I think the greatest crisis that probably ever existed on the face of the earth is whenever Jesus went to that cross. If you can think about this a minute, just try and get in tune with me with what I'm saying. When He went to that cross, the nastiest, most vile sins that you and I could ever commit, or anybody else, He took them on that cross. You talk about agony. You talk about pain. You talk about a crisis. That was probably the greatest crisis on the face of the earth that ever occurred. But yet God was right in the center of that, allowing His Son to pay that price for your sins that you and I could not pay. Crises are always there. Why? Why I think God is leading us to see these things. The Bible also says that we're supposed to have thanksgiving in our hearts. How can we have thanksgiving in our hearts for all of these crises that we go through? I had to learn, and I hope you're learning and have learned, those things I look to as stepping stones in my Christian life of growing in faith and becoming more like Jesus, because I have victory that He gives me. And that's the key of why we're here, is to become more like Jesus. Prove our faith every step of the way in life. I set this up, I believe, that God wanted me to bring this out. Then in crisis, He's there. But now how about the thanksgiving? Have you grown to a point yet where regardless of what happens in your life, you can say, thank you, God? Some perhaps have. And some perhaps haven't. But exactly, that's what really needs to happen. We want to talk about Thanksgiving. It's coming up Thursday. We're going to celebrate it. Began, of course, when it was observed by the Pilgrims in 1621. President Lincoln proclaimed it to be a national holiday in 1863. And Thanksgiving has become a vital part, I think, of everyone's life on the fourth Thursday in November. But Thanksgiving Day shouldn't just be on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving ought to be consistent. And what we want to go through is the scripture that I believe is a great Thanksgiving scripture that was written by the psalmist David about Thanksgiving. And it actually is a Psalm 103. We're going to get there in a minute. But before we get there, I want to give you another scripture that I don't even think I gave to the video people, and that's Psalm 100 and verse 4. Because this one kind of speaks to us about prayer. Think about this one a minute. He says this, Psalm 100 verse 4. He says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. We sing that a lot of times as a praise song. But whenever you're entering into His gates with thanksgiving and you're into His courts with praise, I'm going into His very presence. And that's what we got to think about every time we pray. Amen. That we're going into His presence in spirit, and we're speaking to Him. He says, I go, He says, here's what He says, enter into His gates, that's into heaven, into heaven's gates, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I'm thanking Him for who He is. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. As I come right before Him, I'm going to praise Him. Whatever's going on in my life, and I know, in the human sense, it's tough. It's tough to give praise when you're going through crises. Why wouldn't we? Think about it this way. Who's in control of that? If truly our God is in control of everything that we say we want to, and now He says, prove it. And we go to Him that way when we pray. Into His, the Bible says, and I think here's where I want to bring out that thanksgiving has to be an attitude. Your attitudes have got to change, that I can thank God for everything that happens in my life, regardless of what it is, regardless of what the crisis is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Let me say that again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in you. Now, a lot of people ask all the question, what's God's will for me? Well, there's a lot of things that are just automatic because God says them. And if God says them, they're His will. And here He says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So Thanksgiving Day ought not just be a day that we, as we heard already saying this morning, but it ought to be a consistent thing that we have as an attitude. Now I want to go to Psalm 103. And if you want to follow through on your Bible, that would be great. I might be jumping around a little bit because we're going to let God do what He wants to do, not me. But Psalm 103 is the Thanksgiving Psalm. And there's nothing but admiration here as you read Psalm 103. Let me get there with you. I wasn't quick enough on the flipping the pages there to get where I need to be. Now we're there. I want us to see the first verses. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. We're going to talk more about that. How does the psalmist begin the prayer? What's he saying? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Happy. Blessed brings happiness. Blessed is happy. Two times. And then he ends up at the end of this chapter. He's saying, bless my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Begins expressing thanksgiving as a blessing. It ends the same way. You know, maybe you had a difficult week this week. You know, I had a busy one. You probably, many of you had busy ones. Maybe things haven't gone as well this week for you as you would have liked for them to go. Maybe you had some reversals. Maybe you had some problems. Maybe you had some hardships. But were you able to get into this attitude of thanksgiving? Were you able to be reminded of who God really is, as the psalmist is telling us? He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is written in within me, bless His holy name. The psalmist here begins to talk about himself, but he very quickly gets right to praising the Almighty God, which is where we all need to be in prayer. Occasionally around the house, I got to tell a story on myself. I'll find myself talking to myself. It gets to be a little embarrassing whenever Paula says, who are you talking to? And I say, well, I'm talking to myself because I want to talk to an intelligent person. I didn't mean that. So here the psalmist is kind of talking to himself. Oh, my soul, be thankful. Bless the Lord. He says, notice with all that's within me, bless His holy name. How we need to be praising the Almighty God. I hope we can get to this point today. That we continually bless the Lord regardless of what happens in our lives. That we can praise Him. Be thankful to Him regardless of what happens. You say, wait a minute, that's kind of tough. Yes, it is. But where are we as Christians? If we truly know that He's in control of all things, and He is the all-knowing, omnipotent God, everything that happens in our lives, think about this, has to be first filtered through Him because He allows it. Then why in the world, if He thinks we need these things, why wouldn't we be thankful that He is doing those things? You with me? I think we got to be grateful that only God gives us not only His gifts, but who God is. And as we think about who God is, how close are you to Him? I'll tell you a story about the little boy. It happens, happens to be a PK, a preacher's kid. I'll tell you a story about him, though. His dad was in his study, and the little boy goes up, knocks on the door of his dad's study. And his dad says, come in. And so the little boy walked in. He walked over, and he just stood there, and he looked at his dad, looked at his desk. His dad says, well, son, what can I do for you? He says, oh, nothing. He says, I just want to be close to you. I want you to think about your Heavenly Father, how He wants you close to Him. He wants you close to Him. If you love Him, you trust Him, you have faith in Him, you know what He does, we need to give Him. It's okay sometimes, I think, just to go into the presence in spirit and say, God, I'm here, and I just want to be close to You today. Maybe we can just have a little conversation and understand who God is. He is a caring, loving, Heavenly Father. For some reason, some of us have all got the attitude, well, if I do that, God's going to get me. No, God's wanting to direct you. God's wanting to take you through these trials and tribulations. Somehow we've got to get into our hearts that He is a loving, caring, Heavenly Father. That we were once prisoners. If we're unsaved, we are prisoners of the world. But understanding that God redeemed us on that cross and brought us back out of sin and made a provision for us and got us out of that bondage. Why should we allow ourselves to live in that bondage? You think about this, He has forgiven us, and we are a forgiven person if we accepted it, and if we ask for it, and if we continually, whenever we're caught into things where we shouldn't be, that we're willing to turn that 180 degrees away from it, called repentance, and willing to turn away from it and not go back to it. And it's after repentance that we turn away that then we can have forgiveness. I want you to think about a God, a Father. Let's just think about you as an earthly father. If your kid says to you, well, I'm sorry, Dad. I won't do that no more. Do you expect it? Sure you do. Whenever you say, God, I'm sorry I did this. Please, please, Lord, take me away from this thing. And you turn away. Whenever you turn away and you're willing to turn away, there can be forgiveness. Got to think about our God being a God of healing. And if we read verses 2, 3, and 4 there, and I'm not going to go there right now, but you can read it. He is a God that heals. And sometimes we think about, if you can please bear with me, sometimes we think about healings as just being healings of the physical. But I want you to think about God being the healer of our souls. Our souls. Mind, will, emotion. Meaning the healing of our souls. What's in this old mind? What comes out of this heart? What flows out through the tongue and the mouth that's inside? What needs to be cleaned up? What needs to be healed that's inside? I'll throw out some possibilities. Because the soul gets diseased as well. You're saying, well, doesn't my soul belong to God? Yep. And we allow it to get dirty. We allow it to get filled with anger. The soul has a disease sometimes called anger. The soul sometimes has a disease called hate. The soul sometimes has a sickness called hate and lust. And sometimes has a disease of jealousy, a disease of greed, a disease of guilt. Those things God can heal as well as He can your physical body. Whenever we allow Him to work through us, take us through these things and change our minds and get us on another path. Those diseases of the soul. Just think about those for a minute. Think about those diseases. We don't want any of those physical diseases, but how about the spiritual? You know, I'm so thankful for my salvation. I'm so thankful that He brought me back from where I was, and I was in the very pits. And He brought me back. And perhaps you can be just as happy and just as thankful. And let us be reminded, we didn't deserve it. But we've got a God that we can thank because He made it possible for us. He satisfies me. I thought about, whenever I was thinking about being satisfied, the story, the thing that I'd seen one time that came to mind. Mother, she buys her little 2-year-old, for some reason, a sack of candy, and I'm sure she meant to give it out a little bit of the time. But he got into it. He thought he could eat the whole thing at one time. And he took that chocolate and he kept jamming it one piece after another into his mouth. Pretty soon he had both jaws puffed out. And you know what happens then? He starts to drool. And that chocolate stuff comes out and falls all over his... You ever been there, moms? Kind of drool just falls down there. He was a happy boy. I think about the happiness sometime that God gives us. I think He wants us happy. And He tries to draw us there. We need to be happy people as Christians. That brings thanksgiving to your heart. And you know, there's two ways that we can go through life. We can be old, sad sack and be gloomy and be down in the dumps and be filled with doom and gloom. Or we can go through life having a good time and enjoying it. I really believe that happiness is a choice. Because nowadays we know, I believe that we know, and we have enough statistics that your emotional, or if you're a happy person, your emotional stability, your emotional being has a lot to do with the physical. And we know that to be true now. We have a God that wants you happy. But He also wants you to follow Him and to be thankful and to have an attitude of thankfulness. I was thinking how happy I am that I'm saved. And I think about all the mercy that God shows to you and God shows to me that I don't deserve. But yet in verse 8, I want to read. He says, "And the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy." I'm so glad He's abounding in mercy. And we can have thanks for that. Mercy, mercy. I see today we have a country that they want to demand their rights. They want to demand that this is mine and I ought to have this and this is mine. And they demand their rights. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want my rights. Because if I had my rights, I would be doomed to hell for eternal. I don't want my rights. I want God's mercy. And I want God's grace. And I want to be thankful to my God for what He has done for me. You think about that. We don't deserve what we have. Look at verse 12, if you will, with me. He says, as far as the east is from the west. We sang that this morning. If you go west, folks, as far as the east is from the west, He's going to be a forgiving God. And if you think about that, if you go west, you always go west. You never get there. Because if you're going west, you're always going west. And you never get to east. And if you reverse it, and you always go east, you never get there. Because you're always going east. And that's what God's saying about His forgiveness. Is once you have repented, and you've asked His forgiveness, He says, I don't remember Him anymore. As far as the east is from the west, He says, you can't get there. You can't get back to where you was if it's true forgiveness. So let's just take it this morning that thanksgiving is ours. Sometimes we sing the song, have faith in God. He's on the throne. Have faith in God. He watches over His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. And I guess that's what I'm sharing with you this morning. Is have faith. When you're going through that crisis, have thanksgiving in your heart. Let it be an attitude change that I always have thanksgiving in my heart for whatever happens to me and to you. You know, this morning, I don't know if you... I hope you could understand what we were saying, what God was trying to bring out. But I want us to remember one thing. I can be thankful for what He did on that cross because I know He paid the price for me when I didn't deserve it. And perhaps you're that's where you are this morning. That you haven't come yet to a place in your life where you absolutely believe that God died for your sins and paid the price that you could never pay. If you haven't been saved yet, I invite you to come this morning and we'll get right down here on our knees and we'll pray for you and lead you in a prayer to receive Him. And I invite you to come during the invitation time. And Christians, the other thing I invite you to do is develop that attitude of thanksgiving. Remember that whatever God takes you through, you can thank Him for it. Whatever crisis comes into your life, He'll take you through it. He may not take you out of it right then, but He'll take you through it and give you victory. We've got to claim it. And I pray that you as Christians might come and do so this morning. Could we stand and pray together, please? Father, thank You for this time. It's Your time. We pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to come to salvation, that they'll come. Someone wants to join this church, we ask You'll bring them. And Lord, if there's Christians here that haven't come to that conclusion, that they've got to be thankful for all things, as You've told us in Your Word, let them come this morning. Talk to You. This is Your time, Lord. Call Your people to You. And we praise You for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, O power, surely
preparation of Holy Communion this morning, I want to read again from 1 Corinthians. Chuck, you want to come, please? So I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which was also delivered to you, from that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of this cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are sick and weak among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." In preparation for coming to his table, we ask that you take a time and be prepared to come. And being prepared means that there be no sin, and you can ask that forgiveness before you come. And I encourage you to do so. And then we invite anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to come unto his table, and we will begin that here in a moment. But first, if you'll just take a time, make sure you're worthy to come unto his table.